Some time ago, I put a diagram similar to what's up on the board today. On the board is it being illustrative of divergent views of a document, and I use for our example the U.S. Constitution. And there is such a thing as a strict construction.
Yes.
It says what it says, it means what it says, we go by what it says. There is such a thing as a loose constructionist, that the document needs to evolve and become relative to a changed society, while the strict constructionist says, no, we want it literally, we want it word for word. The strict constructionist would line up with what's called the right wing in politics, the conservative, and their views are going to be dependent upon what the document says. The other side of the spectrum would be not word for word, but we just take its dynamic thrust, its thoughts for thought, and that's going to be the left-wing side of things, often referred to as liberal. Now the popular word seems to be progressive, and it's dependent upon the interpretation of the document, less than the document itself. What does the court say? What do the politicians say? And that kind of business. So I use that as an illustration of divergent views of the same document and how it's reasonably consistent that if you are a strict constructionist, you're going to tend toward the conservative, and if you are a loose constructionist, you're going to tend toward the liberal. Now, what I'm going to do in addition to what's up on the board is I'm going to write, instead of Constitution, let's think about the Bible. And a strict constructionist is going to be a more conservative Christian.
Yeah.
And a loose constructionist is going to be a more liberal Christian. And those are the same words used in Christianity as are used where a conservative might be said to be fundamentalist. And leaning in the other direction, the liberal, the idea of liberal Christianity not really needing word for word, but just thought for thought. Well, in a book that big, you can find a whole lot of different thoughts, as has recently been evidenced by an evangelical pastor, a gentleman named Bell, who has written what is apparently a best-selling book. I've not read it. And the idea is, all is well, there ain't no hell. And he postulates it on his thinking, not on the document, not on the Bible. And his thinking involved when he, some time back, was in a situation where there were slogans on the wall and pep rally kinds of stuff, and one of them was from Mahatma Gandhi, and someone had written on that poster that Gandhi is in hell, reality check. So Bell thinks to himself, really? Gandhi is in hell? Can we confirm this? And so he then says he couldn't believe in a God that would put Mahatma Gandhi in hell. Well, I don't care what he can or can't believe in, because he's not my final authority except to him.
Yeah.
Now he's writing a book where he is suggesting that Christianity needs to become relative to modern society and evolve to be more inclusive. So eventually, this is going to lead to everyone being Unitarian Universalist. And as long as you buy Girl Scout cookies, you get to go to heaven or some such thing as that. Mm-hmm. The idea plays out in front of us all the time. And you could, I suppose, draw a scale and put yourself on the scale somewhere. How conservative are you? How liberal are you? Some of our politicians like to say, well, I am a fiscal conservative, but a social liberal. And, you know, they're trying to be on both sides. Mm-hmm. And I doubt very seriously that you can be one without the other for any length of time. But neither here nor there would that be. What I want us to do is to think about the Bible as being the document, not the U.S. Constitution. And what's our view of that? Mm-hmm. Now, my posture has been the same since I became convinced of it many, many years ago, now decades ago, and that is God has perfectly preserved His words for me without, for you too, without error in the King James Bible. There are no mistakes in it, no glosses, no errors, nothing that needs to be fixed. It's not broken.
Amen.
So that makes me about as fundamental, conservative. I don't want to write on the paint on the wall. I need to stay on the board. But I'm out there somewhere. And there are those who, on the other side of the spectrum, they could go to the pulpit with any book. It didn't need to be the Bible. It's just a church, so we use a Bible. We go to a mosque, we use a Koran. We go to wherever we go and use different books. Strict constructionism versus loose constructionism, Republican versus Democrat, liberal versus conservative, is playing out around us all the time. You take your pick. You decide where you are, who you are. It doesn't matter to this conversation, because really what we're going after is that thinking to help us identify where we are as Bible believers or not.
Yeah.
There's millions of people who don't believe the Bible. You won't be the first in line. You won't be the last in line. There are a few people who believe the Bible, not near as many who believe it word for word perfect as do I. And with that backdrop, and reminding you of that illustration from some weeks ago in our series of KJ 400, I have for you an editorial from the April 2011 Berean Searchlight, written by Yours in Christ Pastor Ricky Kurth. You see his picture there. Dear friends in Christ, the year 2011 marks the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible, authorized by England's King in 1611. That's not historically true. It was authorized in 1603. Took a while to get the guys together, took a while to translate it, but facts, specific information, well, the Berean Bible Society is fast and loose with facts. Or they wouldn't call themselves the Berean Bible Society.
That's right.
They simply call themselves the Berean Society. And then, if they ever wake up and see that the Bereans were unsaved Jews in a temple, they'll just be the Society. They are, authorized by England's King in 1611. Not true. The KJV is also known as the Authorized Version, and to this day remains the gold standard. Now, you're going to have people who read this and say, oh, we're strong in the King James Bible. I guess the gold standard is better than the silver standard, or better than the copper standard, or better than the nickel standard, but I would remind you, He did not say it is God's Word. He did not say it is perfect and without error. While no true friend of the... You're not a true friend of the King James Bible, and I'll demonstrate that shortly. While no true friend of the KJV will overstate the case for this majestic translation, when asked what version of Scripture we recommend here at Berean Bible Society, I never hesitate to endorse, without reservation or qualification, the King James Version. He endorses it without reservation, without qualification. From Pastor Stamm's book, The Memoirs of Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm, when he talks about the greatest crisis in his ministry, on pages 104 and 105, he says the greatest crisis ever to hit his ministry was the King James only crisis. So endorse it, but it's not going to be the final authority. It's not going to be without error. It never has been for the Berean Bible Society, and it never will be. Paragraph. Ricky Kurth. When asked why we recommend the KJV, people are surprised to learn. Why would they be surprised? Teach them. You put out all these magazines every year, and you've had everything from fitness to diet to recipes to pictures of lighthouses. Teach them. Then they'd know. When asked why we recommend the KJV, people are surprised to learn. I'd be surprised to learn much of anything from the Berean Bible Society. They are still in 1956, where Pastor Stam left them. No new information has been forthcoming. They have not filled up that which is lacking. Surprised to learn that the King James Version and the New King James Version are the only translations based on the correct Greek text of the New Testament, the Textus Receptus, or the received text. Is that true?
No.
No! It's absolutely untrue. The King James Bible is not based on the Textus Receptus alone. It also used bishops. It also used, well, in the front of most every King James Bible you've ever purchased, it says, translated out of the original tongues, and with former translations diligently compared and revised. If you take the TR, the Textus Receptus position, then you're looking for the King James and the TR to be fit for tap, this for that. No English translation. I have 153 of them in my library. No English translation matches any Greek translation. Ever, never has, never will. So he's putting up here a Trojan horse. And what's going to ride inside this Trojan horse is, when it doesn't match the TR, or when we don't like what it says in English, we're going to change it and fix it for you. The name of the book, Things That Differ, is a retranslation of Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Things That Differ, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, it is things that are excellent. Now, Pastor Stan fusses with that. Why, it's things that differ, not simply things that are excellent. But actually, using his Greek, it turns out that it's not things that are different, like black and white are different, but one's not better than the other. Fried chicken is better than asparagus. Now, they're different, but one is excellent, and one of them belongs outdoors with the grass. I mean, it is grass, right? So the sense of the word is found in your King James Bible and lost in the title of Pastor Stam's best-selling book. So along goes Ricky Kurth, and he says, Textus Receptus, received text. What you're going to end up with is the Greek being superior to the English, and now he's limited it to this particular Greek. By the way, there's more than one Textus Receptus, and he doesn't tell us which one. All other English versions follow a corrupt Greek text that was rejected by the early church rather than being received. Well, it may have been rejected by the early church, but it wasn't rejected by the Berean Bible Society. Pastor Stam uses it. He uses the RV. He uses the New American Standard. And on page 13 of the Berean Bible Society's Holding Fast the Faithful Word, which they ought to put in quotation marks, on the page 13, what I believe, the verbal inspiration and plenary authority of the Bible in its original writings, which no one has had for 20 centuries. So what Ricky Kurth and what Pastor Stam and what the Berean Bible Society are doing is establishing the Textus Receptus to the degree that they agree with it. And then they'll fudge it and change it and fool with it every opportunity that suits them. Every opportunity that suits them? Why? In Pastor Stam's commentary on 1 Corinthians, there are over 50 footnotes saying better this or literally that, one after another after another. Sometimes the attack is even more frontal. On page 22 of his commentary on 1 Corinthians. Pastor Stamm writes, "The words to be and the phrase called to be saints are in italics in the King James Bible, indicating that they were supplied by the translators. The sense that they were saints by Paul." So he then is attacking the King James frontally there. And then his second footnote on the page is the Greek rendered sanctify means to set apart as sacred, thus a saint and one that is set apart for God. Maybe that's just a definition. Maybe he's suggesting that saint would be a better word. And on, page after page. There are so many. I can't take all the time that it would take. And just this one book, there's at least 50. On page 64, Pastor Stamm writes, "Considering the original manuscripts, we read 1 Peter 1:21, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But the men of God who translated the scriptures into English were not thus supernaturally inspired. Indeed, their appointed task was the joint consideration of the meaning of the Greek and the Hebrew scriptures." Meaning, 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 meaning. Not word. Lining up with the evangelical, with the liberal. "And when they had finished, they freely acknowledged that they had not produced a perfect translation." So what? It's the book that matters, not what somebody says about the book.
That's right.
So, there's so much. People are going to read Ricky Kerr's article, people that are Kool-Aid Christians. I mean, they're so thin, you can see right through them with their doctrine. And they're going to say, "Oh, we're King James people." No, honey. You're going to be led to be under what the court of final opinion, the writer of the commentary, the writer of the article, whether it be Sander, whether it be Stamm, whether it be Ricky Kerr, has to say. And so, on page 83 of the 1 Corinthians commentary, Pastor Stamm offers this. "The words rendered defiled and destroyed here are the same Greek word. On what grounds the King James translators rendered the latter with a stronger term than the former, we are not aware." Well, maybe you could read Lancelot Andrews' writings. Maybe you could read Scribner. Maybe you could read Dean Bergen. Maybe you could read the other translators. You see, it's not about Textus Receptus to English. And it never was. Pastor Stamm, on page 218 of his 1 Corinthians commentary, says, "1 Corinthians 13 has been so long and so widely known as the love." That's how he talks, by the way, if you ever listen to his radio broadcast. My sing song is pretty well spot on. The Berean Bible Society says radio doesn't work. Well, when you produce what you produce, it won't work.
Amen, amen.
"That it is obvious that the vast majority of Bible readers understand the charity of the King James simply means love." That's a lie. Charity means charity. Charity, the better... Check your dictionary. It's benevolence. It's not just, "I love a sunset." It's love that does something. It's beneficence, it's benevolence, it's philanthropy. That's what it is, not simply an ambient love.
Amen.
So, Ricky Kurth goes on. And he says, "All other English versions follow a corrupt text," I'm still in the second paragraph, "that was rejected by the early church rather than being received." Is that true?
No.
No. Actually, the minority text is the text that held sway over 1,000 years under Rome. It is the same text that is being used for the basis of every new translation. You'd really have a stretch to find more than 200 years when the King James Bible in its text was preeminent. "This text is demonstrably corrupt and has prompted countless serious errors in these newer translations, we favor peanut butter and jelly over asparagus on toast. I don't care what you favor. I want facts. We favor the King James over the New King James. Now he's going to tell me why. Since the latter, New King James, chose to forsake the use of thee, thou, thy, and ye. Those words are already fallen out of use, had already fallen out of use in 1611, but were retained by the translators to help the reader differentiate between singular and plural pronouns when these differences appear in the Greek text. That's it. Thee and thou. You favor the King James over the New King James. Why? Thee, thou, thy, and ye. I suppose I should be grateful when a baby doesn't spit up.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he's got something there. How about this? The New King James leaves out the word Lord 66 times.
Yes.
God 51 times. Heaven 50 times. Repent 44 times. Blood 23 times. Hell 22 times. The word Jehovah never appears in the New King James Bible. It leaves out the words New Testament. There is no such word as damnation in the New King James. There are no devils in the New King James. The New King James ignored the Textus Receptus over 1,200 times. And all this genius can come up with is thee and thou. Good night, Nelly. He admits he hasn't taught his people in this paragraph at the top of it. But he'll run an article about what you ought to eat.
Yes.
Yummy, eat from the proper food groups. But we won't teach people about the Word of God. Next paragraph. Are we having fun yet? Next paragraph. While KJV critics claim it is hard to read, an honest evaluation will reveal it is made up mostly of one and two syllable words. Is that going to be credible to the person with the modern translation? I don't think so. I've already shown you that the King James Bible has fewer vocabulary words than do the new translations. I've already shown you that it, however, does have more words. And it's a fact there are archaic words, about four dozen of them, in your King James Bible. So I'm supposing he's trying to be our friend. The King James Bible, I suppose he's standing up for it, but it's not with a very credible argument. As a matter of fact, the lady who wrote New Age Bible versions, Gail Ripplinger, she listened to me when I was on WSUN radio up in Cleveland, Ohio, wrote my name in the front of her Bible because she was the only person I knew of who believed the King James Bible was right. And I had occasion to say to her, when you tell people that the King James Bible actually is easier to read in simpler words, nobody's going to believe you. You may trot out facts and figures, you may run it through some vocabulary evaluator, but nobody's going to believe you.
Yeah.
And so fight the good fight of faith and don't push water uphill. But it reflects a beautiful style. I don't care.
No.
I don't care if it's iambic pentameter. I don't care. It's God's perfect words. It lends itself to scripture memorization. I think what would lend itself to scripture memorization is if everybody had the same translation, that would help. It wouldn't have to be just the King James Bible. I think that's really a specious, kind of a spurious argument. I don't know that that dog hunts. But he's trying to throw things up in favor of the King James Bible. How about the list I just gave you about what's not in the New King James? That's more interesting than anything he said. It took me 2 minutes to find it in my file at the house.
Yeah.
So, this beloved version was not only the product of the Protestant Reformation, it was also the Bible used more than any other in the Reclamation of the Grace message. This is understandable, since the word dispensation does not even appear in the majority of New Bible versions, versions that also try to harmonize the contradictory statements made by Paul and James about justification. Personal anecdote time. I'll never forget the time in my teens when I tried to share the grace message with a friend by playing dumb. Well, that's good, disingenuous, crooked fellow. He outgrew his teens. I hope he's more forthright in the pulpit than playing dumb. And you couldn't prove it by me, because what he's written here is kind of plain dumb. I'll never forget a time in my teens I tried to share the grace message with a friend by playing dumb and asking him to help me reconcile Romans 4 and James 2. You don't have to play dumb. You just open it up and say, here, look at this, read this, read that. Tell me how you can fit James chapter 2, verse 24 into Romans chapter 5, verse 1, into Romans chapter 4, verses 3 and 4.
Yes.
Imagine my frustration when his Bible version made it sound like those passages were saying the same thing. I looked through 10 of my most popular translations, and none of them do that. You can sort it out fairly easily.
Yes.
I think his personal illustration is dubious. I think what he's really trying to talk about is passages such as Galatians chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9. The New International, New American Standard, Living Good News, Amplified, the 10 I looked at the house, you could see a difference between Romans 4, 3, and 4, and James 2, 24. So I don't know what he's talking about, and I don't think he does either. Last paragraph. Because of this, grace believers, more than any other believers, have reason to bow their heads and thank God for the version of Scripture that stands head and shoulders above all others as the all-time best-selling book in the history of mankind, the King James Version of the Bible. I wouldn't care if it sold two copies, and I didn't have either of them. It's God's Word. The fact that it's gotten out, a lot of people have read it, it's available today, that's wonderful. But that doesn't prove anything.
No.
If best-selling proves something, then we need the Church of the Harry Potter. Well, they did build one of those, didn't they? People
yes.
go there, pay money, and they get scared by witches and poker bears. It stands heads and shoulders above all others. You know, if that were the standard, he would have said something, but it's not the standard. Is it God's Word or isn't it? Is it God's perfectly preserved Word without error? So, he extols the virtues of the King James Bible in a very, I think, borderline dishonest, uneducated, ill-informed way. He makes a couple of statements that are just not true. That doesn't help much. And in the same issue of the Berean Searchlight, on page 12, we have an advertisement for the 43rd annual Berean Bible Fellowship Conference. Rejoice in the Lord always, with an S on the end of it. Could that be from the very New King James Bible that this foolish fellow who calls himself an editor just said wasn't as good? Because the King James Bible says A-L-W-A-Y, which is one of those old archaic words that we can't handle and we could never understand, because after all, when we get our Berean Searchlight, we get lighthouses, we get recipes, we get recommendations of Max Lucado for 10-year-olds. Why? You never know what you're going to get in the Berean Searchlight. You won't get much in the way of Bible study that hasn't been done 15 times redundantly for the last 40 years. And this fool says, people are surprised. It's your fault people are surprised. Now, as insipid, as weak, as his defense of the King James Bible is, you know what's going to happen? He's going to get attacked by his own people for being too King Jamesy. That's how far from being literal, word-for-word conservative dependent on the document these people are. He's going to get whacked by his own crowd. Why? We thought we got rid of that King James stuff when we got rid of Pastor Jordan, who lied to get to be president of our society, pretending that he wasn't King James, so we fired him because he was. Turns out you didn't need to fire him because he really isn't.
Amen, amen, amen.
Did you follow all that?
Yeah.
So, loose constructionist, thought for thought, and they'll correct it in a New York minute.
Yeah.
So, in their same, you got to love an editor this blind, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, honestly, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and it's, it could be the New King James. It could be a lot of different translations. I'll tell you which one it isn't. It isn't the one promoted on the editor's page. Mm-hmm. He may be the nicest young man in Wisconsin. And I'm certain that he could get a job at the Marsh Super Value where his talents would match what's expected of him. From Pastor Stamm's commentary on Romans. Page 128. Now, this is just one. I could give you 30 from this book. I could give you 50 from his commentary on 1 Corinthians. I could give you 30 from his commentary on Romans. We do not understand why the KJV translators here departed from their own received text. Hey, bright eyes, get that Bible of yours and open it to the front where it says, translated out of the original tongues and with the former translate. Oh, it's not just tit for tat textus receptus. And by the way, would it be Beza's textus receptus? Would it be Stefanus textus receptus? Why, Jay Green thinks he wrote a textus receptus. Which one would it be? We do not understand why the KJV... Well, if you don't understand, then print recipes. Like you do in your journal. We do not understand why the KJV translators here departed from their own received text, which reads chronologically. The word here and its verb are elsewhere rendered reconciliation, to reconcile. Pastor Sadler, to this day, says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, Paul would not have used the word atonement. Apparently, he had lunch with Paul and said, Paul, would you have said that? Paul said, no, I wouldn't have said that. Pastor Sadler sets himself up for the authority on what Paul would or would not have said. You know why Paul uses the word atonement in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. He's trying to make a Jew jealous. He makes that point not once, not twice, but four times in the book of Romans. He's trying to provoke them. He's willing to die for them, Romans chapter 9, verse 3. He's addressing them, Romans chapter 2, verse 17. So, what's an awfully good way to get somebody's attention? I got what you've been waiting for. I got what you've been waiting. You've been wanting to. I got it.
That's not fair.
I know. So I'm supposed to throw out believing my King James Bible is word for word perfect because it doesn't line up with the textus receptus? And Pastor Sadler said, well, Paul wouldn't have said that. You got to love a guy that knows what Paul would or wouldn't have said. I mean, the popes aren't that bodacious. Bodacious might be spelled I-G-N-O-R-A-N-T.
Yes.
In Pastor Stamm's commentary on Romans, Pastor Stamm is funny in his writing. I've read everything he's written. There's not one book he's written that I haven't read. And in his writing, he tends to float around the room a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's all flowery and ethereal and, you know, and real people don't generally talk about, but it is appendices. It's like I wrote this whole book and there was one thing that had been killing me not to say, and so I'm going to put it in the appendix.
Yeah.
The Galatians appendix is better than the book to show you how ignorant these people are. And they're many Pauline dispensational, but they get there by accident.
Yes.
So in appendix number one, which is on page 369 of Pastor Stamm's commentary on the book of Romans, here's what he gives me. Gotta love a guy like this. We believe that God, in his wisdom, has been pleased to withhold the original manuscripts from the succeeding generations, perhaps because man is so prone to idolatry. Consider the brazen serpent. We believe, however, that God has graciously overruled human infirmity and sin so that we have in our hands, in the authorized version, a Bible so remarkably free from error. Remarkably free from error means it's got errors. I think his next appendix ought to be the list of what the errors are, don't you?
Yep.
So remarkably free from error that we could say of even this translation, this is the Bible, with greater confidence than we could say of an English translation of, say, Luther's Galatians, that this is Luther's Galatians and not really Galatians. We believe the theological integrity, as well as the linguistic ability, has ever been important in the translation of the Bible from the original tongues, while Textus Receptus, the received text of the Reformation, mainly followed by the AV, mainly. See, that means he knows. So why does he set it up as the authority when he knows it wasn't? Disingenuous, deceitful. That's what you call that. Not in our humble company. We just use loving words. Yeah. And you victimize the simple. It is aptly called the majority text. It does not follow from this that every single rendering of the AV is necessarily correct or best. I need a list. It does not follow every single rendering of the AV is necessarily correct or best. Folks, that position belongs over here with the liberal, left-wing, relative, progressive, loose constructionist position. If that's where your Christianity is, I'm not mad at you, but identify it.
Yes.
You are not a conservative fundamentalist. You are not a word-for-word Bible believer.
No.
We're not going to take you out and shoot you, but quit lying to people. The only reason why would he put out an article such as this? Hard to describe motives. But he's trying to win back the King James crowd.
Yeah.
He'll get the ignorant ones.
Oh, yes.
And those who read the Berean Searchlight, they must be ignorant. Because the readers, he says, are surprised to learn. I'd be surprised to learn anything out of the Berean Searchlight.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've been reading it for, 20 years?
Yeah.
So the translators of the AV, though great in God, though great in godly men, were not inspired of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have to be.
No.
The Holy Spirit inspired the original writers. Those words are brought forth literally. You don't need secondary and tertiary inspiration. You need preservation. Though they were signally aided by the Holy Spirit. Oh, he says they were aided by the Holy Spirit. Now, help me out with this. I'm on page 370, Epistle to the Romans, Pastor Stamm, Appendix 1. They were not inspired by the Holy Spirit. They were aided by the Holy Spirit. So, here's the Holy Spirit. Well, let's see. I gave Peter exact words. I'm not going to give exact words to Scriven. Free on him. I'm not going to give exact words to the translators. You know, I'm going to aid him. Here's a pencil. What's he talking about? What jibber-jabber, childish, infantile? They were aided by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, the second time around, he did a pretty bum job.
Yeah.
So now we need Holy Spirit aided Pastor Sam, and Holy Spirit aided Pastor Sadler, and Holy Spirit aided Ricky Kurth, and Holy Spirit aided Joe Slobodnik. Joe Slobodnik's in the funny papers. It's the hero of Peanuts, of his favorite baseball player. Yeah. He's Holy Spirit aided to play second base.
Yeah.
All this bears witness that the Bible is more than paper and ink. It is the living Word of God.
Ooh.
Relative, evolving, thought for thought, is alive. These people are despicable when it comes to this issue. There's no nice way to say it. And you can go to a Bible conference named Rejoice in the Lord Always and tell them I said so. Have a nice day.